What's up, Odyssey fans? I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today, we're interviewing an actor who's returning to the show.
We'll also be previewing album 59, Taking the Plunge, which premieres on the radio and online very soon. But first, Jess, who is this returning actor you mentioned?
Well, maybe you can guess. Let me ask you, who comes to mind when I say the words Disney Channel?
Mickey Mouse? Is Mickey Mouse returning to Odyssey?
No, but I don't think Mickey's ever been in Odyssey.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh?
No.
All right, I give up. Who?
Jason Earls.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, on the Disney Channel, Jason played a well-known likable character on Hannah Montana. But on Adventures in Odyssey, he's the original voice of the notoriously duplicitous Vance King.
Ooh, chills.
Yeah, say, do you think Jason is as intimidating as Vance in real life?
Well, let's talk to him and find out. Jason, so glad you could join us. Hey, let's jump right in. In Adventures in Odyssey, you play the conniving and manipulative Vance King. Have you ever portrayed a bully before?
You know, that's an interesting question. I'm sort of a smaller guy. I always look younger than I was. So I think in real life, I tend to maybe be bullied a little bit more, and I would get cast more as the victimish sort of role. But okay. Actually, the very first thing that I did when I moved to L.A. and started working was this guy, Kyle, who was like a skinhead, racist, angry youth, and it was just so not me. But it was a very interesting exercise in acting, for sure. But yeah, oddly enough, for all of the sort of nerdy, goofy characters that I've played, the very first one that I did was kind of more in that vein, yeah. Not quite as, Vance was definitely not as bad as, as the Kyle character.
So when you're in the studio and you're trying to kind of get into Vance's head or get him into yours, what or who do you use as a frame of reference?
What's funny is I love the old Back to the Future movies. Mm-hmm. So whenever I think bully, especially if you're doing like a family version of a bully, I always think of Biff.
Biff, totally.
From right. Back to the Future. Just sort of like this big sort of meathead, not like too terribly smart, but he's always like working the angles, and it's an entertaining bully as opposed to sort of a terrifying, frightening bully.
Well, Jason, you are the original voice of Vance in the episode Target of the Week, but due to some scheduling conflicts, you became unavailable to continue in the role. Tell us what happened there.
I don't remember the exact timing of it. I don't remember if it was the end of Hannah Montana or the beginning of Kicking It, but that whole time was just sort of crazy with all the responsibilities on the shows. I went right from the end of Hannah into Kicking It with pretty much no break. And, you know, the Disney Channel, they've been very good to me, and I've worked for a long time for them. But there's a lot of promotions and a lot of outside stuff that goes on in addition to being on the show and sort of doing the job part of it. Mm-hmm. So there was just, I just think it was one of those unfortunate situations where you just get so caught up in your day job that all these fun things you do on the side, some of them have to be delayed for a while. So the schedule just got too crazy there for a little while.
Well, curiously, Jason Marsden then became unavailable to continue in the role. So in an unusual move for Odyssey, you came back to voice Vance, the character you created after Jason had voiced the role for a while. So is this unusual for you?
Yeah, I can't remember another instance where we keep sort of handing the baton to each other. At least you know that if I'm not available in the future, there's a chance that the other Jason will come back and you can keep skipping along without missing a beat. I actually got the chance to listen to some of his stuff. So while I've never met him, I have listened to some of his portrayal of Vance, and it's awesome. It's like dead on, and all of his choices are great, and the character is just bullyish and nasty enough that you can root against him, but not so much that it doesn't fit into the overall program. So it all fits. It's awesome. He did really, really great work.
Cool. So how did it feel for you to return and then pick up from there and be Vance again?
It was fun. It was a couple of years have passed, so I think there was a little bit of an adjustment. I had to listen to my own voice as a reference from like years before to try to match what I had done before. So it actually took a couple of tries to sort of zero back in on what Vance was all about. But it's such a fun character that, you know, once you wrap your brain around it, you just take off and have a good time. And actually, one of my favorite things about working on Adventures in Odyssey is, unlike a lot of the other voiceover jobs, you actually get to be in the room with the other actors. Oftentimes, you record your stuff all by yourself, so you're just sort of, you know, talking to the director or whatever, but you're not playing off anybody. And Adventures in Odyssey, we always get a chance to be in the same room together, and we get to interact, and so there's a it's almost like doing a radio play as opposed to just recording your lines in a booth. So I always think that's really fun.
On Hannah Montana, you played a really likable character in Jackson. Is it more fun to play a character like that or maybe a slip into a villain like Vance?
That's a really good question. I think it probably depends on your mood on any given day. If you're feeling a little grumpy, there's something sort of cathartic about getting out there and being a little obnoxious. I think that the roles that I probably usually have the most fun with are it's almost like the comedic sidekick. You know, the guy that will come into a scene and he'll do two or three funny things and then he'll leave and he doesn't like bear the responsibility of carrying the entire show, but he's your favorite part, you know?
Your physical comedy always just had me just laughing so hard. Do you think Vance should have more physical comedy in Odyssey?
If there was any way that I could get a little bit more physical comedy across the radio, I would absolutely do that. Yeah, that's probably the most challenging part of doing a show like that for me, because I do rely on physical comedy a lot for my on-camera stuff that I do. It's something that I was just always sort of good at, and I had a good sense of timing, and I could make really sort of violent falls down the stairs or slipping over a couch. Look really funny but never hurt myself, so it was something that we just would always go to. And with the voice stuff, it's just it's you and a microphone, man. So you even if you're just doing radio physical comedy, it's now you're trying to get all those oomps and to sound sort of real and make sense. I think it's probably the biggest adjustment for me. I just don't have that crutch of physical comedy if I need to bail myself out of a situation.
Well, you also appear on another Disney Channel show called Kickin' It. Jason, we recently interviewed Joel McCrary, the voice of our own Simon Jones, who is one of the writers and actors on that series. Have you run into Joel while working on that show?
Yeah, I love Joel. Joel's like my all-time favorite dude. He's so funny. Every time he would come in on Kickin' It and play Bobby Wasabi, it was like you just knew that silliness was gonna follow. He's a very funny guy. He's a big guy. His broad comedy is spot on. He's very collaborative. He actually ended up directing a little bit on Kickin' It. Yeah, just a really, really talented guy all the way around.
Well, we hear that you've also directed several episodes of that show. So why were you interested in directing?
Growing up, and even when I first moved to L.A., I didn't really have any interest in directing. I mean, I didn't go to school for it. I wasn't trained for it. I didn't think I saw big picture enough. I understood what my little piece of the puzzle was, you know, how I act and how I fit into an episode or a movie or a play or whatever I was in. But I would say toward the end of Hannah, I really started to pay attention to what the directors were doing, and I started to realize how every little thing affects every other little thing. So like, if, you know, you would get some stage direction on page two, and I started to recognize, oh, well, if I do that, then it's going to mess up something I have to do on page six. And so I would start to figure out solutions to like make everything make sense. And that's really what a director does. It's sort of air traffic control. It's making sure that everything, whether it's the sets or the props or the wardrobe or the acting or the blocking or the camera work, all of those things have to work in concert, in addition to getting really good performances out of everyone. And I just think the more I did it, by the time I was finished with Kickin' It, I'd been in 200 episodes of like kids sitcom TV. So I really started to understand the format and everything that goes into making a good episode versus the ones that didn't feel so good. But it's sort of funny to watch the evolution of it all. You start off as actors and then you start writing on stuff and then you start directing stuff. And it's just, I think it's just sort of a way to stay in the business longer, you know? If there's no acting jobs, then at least you can put yourself out there for directing or you can try to write something. It's self-preservation to stay in the business, I guess.
All right, now you got to compare and contrast here. Three disciplines, well, four. We'll throw writing in there, too. On-camera acting, writing, voice acting, directing. Is there one that you would gravitate to if you had to choose?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that I've done the longest, and I think where my heart will always truly be, would be like the in front of the audience acting. So whether that's being in a play or being in a movie or being on a sitcom, there's just something totally exhilarating about putting this performance out there and like letting people judge it. And I don't mind if people tell me they didn't like it or if they did like it or if it made them angry. Like I just, whatever that reaction was, as long as it's an honest reaction, like I love to hear what that is. I think that for the second half of my career moving forward, I will actually probably put a ton of effort into getting the directing stuff going. So I'll always act if there's opportunities, but I think my primary focus in the short term anyway is to keep getting more of these episodes and sort of hone that skill a little bit, because it makes you a better actor even to understand like where you fit into everything and being responsible for everything. It makes you a little piece of it when you're an actor. I think you're much more effective when you understand everything that's going on.
You mentioned one of the obstacles that you have to overcome in voice acting is sort of making those physical scenes come to life. So how do your methods of preparation vary for voice acting versus physical acting?
I think for the physical acting, I will do things like I pace around in the physical space that I'm going to be acting in. So I sort of attach lines and emotions and the intent of what it is that I'm doing to the actual physical space in the set. It's sort of a weird internal thing that happens with me. It's just the more times I can say it in the place that I'm going to have to say it, the easier it'll be to say it when I have to say it there, is sort of the idea. But with the voiceover stuff, you do have to sort of get your energy up because your voice is your only tool. So if you're sort of sleepy and a little groggy, then it's hard to get the performance out. So I will do some physical stuff. I'll do some push-ups. I'll do some jumping jacks just to get the blood flowing and to sort of get awake and sort of get things going. And then all the way back from my theater days, there's all these vocal exercises that you do to loosen up your mouth and your tongue and to get your voice ready, that I'll spend 30 minutes in the car when I'm driving over to the recording session just saying these silly things over and over to myself, sure, to try to get the voice ready.
And, you know, Vance, he's got to have some redeeming qualities about him, right? I mean, you see the bad stuff, you hear it in Odyssey. So what's your favorite thing about Vance King?
Well, they're young characters, and for anybody to be that self-confident,
yeah.
You know, there's something sort of admirable about somebody who, like, is willing to put himself out there during, again, what is sort of the most awkward time in your life. So I think he has little glimpses of being a human, even if he's, you know, sort of obnoxious most of the time.
Well, Jason, it has been just a real pleasure talking with you and getting to know you better. So thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really, really fun to work on, and hopefully I won't have any more conflicts. So anytime they want me over there.
All right.
It's such a good time. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jason.
How about that? Seems like the actual Jason Earls is much friendlier than Vance.
Yeah, it was great fun chatting with him. And it's not every day we get a chance to hear an adult talk about playing a teen on the Disney Channel right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I always knew how funny he was, but he's a smart dude who really understands the craft. You can hear Jason as Vance in Taking the Plunge, which premieres on the radio soon.
In just a few days, actually. Album 59 premieres on the radio and online September 26th.
Let's hear a preview of what's in store.
On Adventures in Odyssey, Album 59, Wooten wants Penny to take the plunge.
You ask Penny to marry you?
Mm-hmm.
Which triggers a lot of soul searching.
What does it mean to be together for the rest of our lives?
Life will change for you and everyone around you.
And silliness.
What?
Dive into Album 59, Taking the Plunge. It's available now on CD, digital download, and the Odyssey Adventure Club. Visit witsend.org to listen today.
I don't know about you, Bob, but I can't wait for September 26th.
Oh, you can say that again.
I don't know about you, Bob, but I can't wait
I walked right into that one, didn't
yeah.
I? Anyway, you can listen to Album 59 every weekend from September 26th through October 31st, or you can get your copy on CD or digital download on the website now.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
As always, if you have any questions or if you just like to say hello, you can go to witsend.org or give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. See you next time. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.